This is Air Check from 91.5 KRCC in Colorado Springs, a show about great music in the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jeff Beery.
I'm Jake Brownell.
And I'm Vicki Gregor.
July is America's birthday month, and on this episode of Air Check, we'll get a hint of Vicki's playlist for the 4th of July celebrations. Jake will be talking with Roberto Houston of Black Pegasus about his rapping career. Local artist Nina De Freitas joins us for an in-studio performance and interview, and we look ahead to the 11th annual Blues Under the Bridge Festival on July 29th. All that today on Air Check.
As per usual, we start off our show with the musical roundtable, where we literally go round a round table.
Literally.
And talk about the music that's in our head that we can't let go of. And I'd like to start with you today, Jake.
So my pick is from a band that I just found out about, and they just released a new album. This really their first major label LP just came out this month. The band is called Cigarettes After Sex.
Great name for a band. That is a great name.
Well, agree to disagree. And this song is called Apocalypse from their self-titled album. Just so spare and so, I don't know, there's something that just grips you right away with that minimalist production and this sort of echoey.
Yeah, kind of distant guitar.
Distant guitar, yeah. I actually found out about them watching the show on Hulu, The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, really?
And there was one of the episodes ends with a song off of their previous EP called I.
You know, it is interesting that there are some shows that are using great, great artists. I can think of Lord Huron. That was one of the
Shameless.
The last scene in Shameless from one of the seasons.
Tomas Pagan Mata kicked off the latest season of Flaked. They used his one of his songs for the
And now the Handmaid's Tale. That is
yeah,
great.
Yeah, The Handmaid's Tale. I was thrilled to hear this song because it just kind of touched all these different notes for me as far as other contemporary bands that I like. You know, it reminds me a bit of Cass McCombs, a little bit of the vocal stylings of Dan Behar of Destroyer and New Pornographers. Kind of a retro style, almost a throwback to some of that early 90s sort of David Lynch, Julie Cruz, some of that stuff. It's just a beautiful, sparse, captivating pop music. So shout out to The Handmaid's Tale, Hulu. Check
and
it out.
Cigarettes After Sex.
Cigarettes After Sex, that's the band. self-titled album, out this month.
Jeff, what's captivated you?
Well, it's interesting. The song that I've picked is very similar to the one that Jake just played for us. Very sort of minimalistic at the beginning, kind of a waterfall of sound. And this woman is out of Melbourne, Australia. She's 21 years old. I found out about her listening to your show the other night. Vicky. It was wonderful. I was watching there was a light show, a lightning storm out on the Eastern Plains. I was listening to this wonderful song. Her name is Tash Sultana, and I think she's going to break. I think she's going to be a big artist as soon as she comes stateside. Song is called Synergy, and it's off of a new EP called Notion. Do you hear that guitar waterfall just kind of trickle down of me? I love that sound. And then to hear her vocals.
And such a beautiful build on that song. My goodness.
You know, her website depicts her as a self-taught singer-songwriter, vocalist, guitar-tapping loopologist. Apparently, she's doing it all. I've watched some concert footage of her, and she's playing she's making all that sound herself.
And her voice reminds me of someone I love a lot, Lou Rhodes, who is the singer for the band Lamb, where her voice is just pitched a certain way that really catches your ear. You know, it's almost not baby talk singing,
right.
But there's something in the voice that goes on top of this lush production. Only it's simple production. Only she's built this to such a wonderful, you know, wash.
You know, we are in the age of the bedroom musician, multi-instrumentalist, whether it's on your computer or your looping pedal or your personal garage band, whatever it is, that ability to just sort of fully realize a sound by yourself,
right,
on your own, control every element of it. It leads to some really amazing results.
Nice pick, Jeff.
What did you pick, Vicky?
Well, I picked a band. It's now three members. It was four at one time. They're from Leeds, England. Their name derives from a symbol they sometimes use, the triangle, which is the delta symbol. And the way you make that symbol on a Mac keyboard is Alt-J.
There you go.
That's the name of the band.
That's the band, Alt-J, and the song is called Dead Crush.
Big thumping bass right out of the gate.
Oh, yeah. And I try to put my finger on what it is I adore about Alt-J, because I adore every record they make. And I think it's because they have such sparse instrumentation, but they have a way of taking Joe Newman is the lead singer and wrapping his voice into the instruments. It's hard to separate, and they just kind of wonky plod toward a chorus, and then they'll bring in a flute, and then they'll bring in these background sounds, and it's just what the doctor ordered. I love music like this.
It's really interesting, and it's got so many different elements going on and so many different influences, and some elements of Blur to sleigh bells.
There you go. T-Rex and Radiohead having a baby together.
Yeah.
I love LJ. Talented and young, in their 20s. Long career, I hope.
Very cool.
Album, good.
Relaxer.
All the way through?
Yeah. In fact, I'm still making my way through it, but already there's three songs that grab me, and this one grabbed me hard.
Nice picks, guys.
Yeah.
It's fun doing this. I learn a lot.
The soundtrack of our lives.
I learn a lot. You're listening to Air Check on 91.5. KRCC.
Yeah, you know that he is a heart, my dearie, or a lost man.
Jake, you recently spent some time one-on-one with Roberto Houston of Black Pegasus.
I did. He's a really interesting guy who's been rapping here in Colorado Springs since the 1990s, and over the last few decades, he's released several albums and toured throughout the U.S. and Europe alongside some really big names in hip-hop. His latest album comes out July 7th, and it's simply titled Robert Houston. After many years in the business, he says he's returning to his roots with this album, and he's not sure if this will be his last release or the beginning of a new chapter.
Okay, well, let's have a listen.
Creeping on the come up, got it right until the sun up. Watching for the haters trying to run up. What up? Stop the hate, that's not my fate. I ain't tripping with the clip and put the gun up. Shut up. Miraculous, we're rapping this, and I ain't slipping with the butt up to get cut up.
So I'm in the studio with Black Pegasus, aka Black P, Roberto Houston. Thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, thank you for having me.
We wanted to kind of get to know you a little bit, and I wanted to just sort of start out by asking you to tell us a little bit about your background and kind of how you got started in rap and hip-hop.
You know, I started when I was really young. I was watching like MTV when MTV actually played music videos and just emulating that. I'm a little bit older, so like I came from that era. So like this was like 95, you know, 94, I'm watching music videos on MTV. And like 96, I started messing around with some of my buddies. They'd bring records over and we'd play the B-side instrumental on my pop's record player and just start freestyling over it. And from there, just kind of just kept growing. Like certain things just kept happening and it just led to me becoming like a full-blown rapper. So, yeah.
And in those early days, back in the early mid-90s, who were the rappers that inspired you?
Everyone knows like I'm a Wu-Tang fanatic. I'm a Wu-Tang head. But Wu-Tang, Biggie, Tupac, NWA, Dr. Dre stuff, you know, stuff like that was, for me, that was like the most prevalent.
And so you started out just freestyling. How did it sort of become a career?
Because I was actually able to freestyle a little bit with my homies. I would write stuff down at school, and I had this multimedia class, and me and the homies, we'd walk behind Best Buy, go get high, and then come back and write rhymes. And that was our thing, just passing paper. Hey, look at what I wrote. Look at what I wrote. So I was so scared to just grab a mic at a house party and just freestyle. And I just did it. And that was like literally, that was the moment where I was like, yo, every house party we freestyled, we battled. We were battling kids. Like that was just, it was it for me. And it just kind of just went from there.
Is this real life or a lucid dream? Is this really my sight or what I choose to see? I've been tuning this mic and it's loose to leave so I can change up my life from what it used to be.
You grew up in Colorado Springs, right?
Yes, sir.
And how'd you find sort of the hip-hop scene here kind of as you started to chart a course and a career in hip-hop and rap?
The hip-hop scene really kind of found us in a sense. Like now you're talking about like 98 99, and I'm 18 and 19 years old, and back then we're still on cassette tapes. CDs are barely being burnt. People are showing up to shows. It's all word of mouth. It's just a different time period. There's no social media, there's no real web presence. It's just like, you know, real organic. And so it kind of found us just going to house parties, rapping and having a good time as kids do, you know. And it just kind of spread organically, word of mouth.
Colorado Springs isn't really known necessarily for its hip-hop scene. Was that a challenge for you as you tried to kind of break into the industry and sort of establish yourself as a rapper?
Right, and it was a challenge, and I'm going to toot my own horn for a minute, but we really helped cultivate the scene. Behind the scenes, it was my dude Bass, Jason Blizz. They had this studio that started, it was kind of before its time, and people started recording here, and it allowed people like me and Samir from The Reminders, me and him actually started out in like groups together, you know. There were a lot of people that pioneered this scene and cultivated it, because like back then, we'd go on tour, and we'd be like, hey, we're from Colorado, and people would clown us and think we're supposed to be cowboys and all types of stuff. Now the trends have turned. You got to think, this is almost 20 years later. This started in 98, 99, and it's 2017, and I'm still putting out records, still touring the world. Even though we're relatively underground, we help cultivate the scene where people could have a platform to do what they're doing now. We came in and trailblazed that, and it was really hard at first.
Look at me, but hold your camera tight. This ain't candlelight. I'm a supernova, and these cats ain't even satellites. Been flipping
words before. And now fast forward to 2017, and you've really had a successful career so far. And I mean, just recently, you've got a new video out on YouTube,
right.
Idolatry, that's got 500,000 views. It seems like you've really had a steady kind of growth as an artist and in terms of your fan base.
I've been doing this a long time, and when I started, I was really young and very impressionable. And I started out just a boom bap, like, I want to be the illest lyricist alive, da-da-da-da. But on my way, I started touring with other big artists that made, like, let's say, party music. And so I got lost a little bit, but I'm finding my way back home now, and I'm really getting into my roots of just, like, lyricism, being conscious, and just hip-hop that has substance. And it's just, that's kind of reinvigorated me to actually do what I'm doing. I don't know. This is either my last album or the beginning of a new chapter.
I know that you're waiting for me.
It's a personal record, so there's some things on there that go kind of deep. Last year, me and my wife had a son, Robert Houston III, but he passed away in a stillborn delivery. So I wanted to make sure like the whole story was set together. And so that was a big part of it.
I miss you, I love you, it's different. My son who I never got a chance to hold you or hug you. Relationship, no face to it. Your soul left your body, your vacant ship. When I first got to...
Originally, when I was recording the record to finish it, she was pregnant, and I was like, when my son is born and I get to hold him, hear him cry, I'm gonna make a song for him, and that's gonna end the album. But the course was rerouted. This record is definitely for legacy. The reality is I just, you know, started growing up, maturing, and just other things are a little more important than the party to me.
Unlimited potential got me feeling mental. Your mom's heart broken. What we went through, June 22nd, delivered a stillborn. Robert Houston III, an angel was still born.
So you've had a really long career so far as an artist. What have been like some of the highlights, some of the things that you've looked on and you're like, man, I cannot believe this is happening right now?
The biggest highlight was being able to tour with Guru from Gangstar. At this time, he was touring Jazzmatazz because the Gangstar thing, him and Primo, had some type of differences, so he's touring solo. But before he passed, I was able to tour the West Coast, some of the Midwest, and actually the South. So it was crazy to be in like Orlando, Florida, rapping with Guru. So that was super awesome. Those are highlight pivotal points. But the most was this year, actually. I actually got to tour with Afro, All Flows Reach Out. RA the Rugged Man signed him and put him on, but all through Europe. Man, it was awesome. So I actually went out. I wear a few hats, but I was his tour manager, and I was rapping, opening up his show. So it was really awesome.
So you say maybe this is your last album, maybe not. Like, what do you hope to see for yourself going forward in your career? You know, where do you go next?
My career, it's really just, it's got to be organic. It's got to be natural. Like, if I'm really feeling it and I'm in tune with the music and I'm creating beautiful artwork, you know, I'm going to keep it up, you know what I mean? But if not, you know, I'm not afraid to let go at this point. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to let go of what you love for what you're supposed to do. And I think I'm at that point in my life where what I'm supposed to do as a man in this world is starting to arise. And so, you know, I might have to give up something I love to become what I'm actually here place to be here for, but, you know, I might be here to spread certain things through music. So it just has to be organic. I think it's gonna naturally present itself to me.
And my last question, as someone who's kind of been around the block, seen the ups and downs of the industry, and who's really forged a successful career as an artist, what advice would you have for young rappers in Colorado Springs in particular, trying to kind of get their start right now, trying to get out into the broader music industry?
In life, if your personal budget, your life isn't together, it's hard to have your music together. If you're just starting out, making sure you have the right budget, you know, have a laptop, have a phone, and become value, bring something to the table. And then, you know, other than that, there's a long list of stuff, but really the music, man, the music is still the foundation. Like, if you have dope music, people are attracted to that. People forget and they're like, well, this happening, that happened. Well, you're either not getting your music in front of the right audience or your music's not there. It's just that simple. And I've been through that. My music was not there when I started. I just had a platform where a lot of people were seeing me, but I go back and listen. I can see the flaws in it. So it's just growing, you know?
Black Pegasus, Roberto Houston, thank you so much for coming in.
Jacob, my man, I appreciate you reaching out. I love getting out to new people and just being able to say what's up. And I really do appreciate you having me on your platform.
Windows down, got my music playing. We become our thoughts, now that's a super saiyan. We going super saiyan.
That was Roberto Houston, a.k.a. Black Pegasus, speaking with 91.5 KRCC's Jake Pronell. Black Pegasus's new album is called Robert Houston. There will be an album release party on Friday, July 7th at the Black Sheep in Colorado Springs. You're listening to Air Check from 91.5 KRCC. Stay with us.
That's where I stand, homie. They said I sink down, but then I swam, homie. If you ride with me, then you know the champ. Turn the system up until we blow the amps. You know the camp, we riding through city to city. Biddy's giddy, cause we smooth, gritty, and witty.
Summer night, cruising through my city. Got my day ones on my side, and you know they down the ride. Yeah, you know they down the ride for a real one. Cause I keep it warm with it. Summer nights, cruising through my city. Got my day ones on my side, and you know they down the ride. Yeah, you know they down the ride for a real one. Cause I keep it warm with it. For my homies in the street, y'all know.
This is Air Check from 91.5 KRCC in Colorado Springs, a show about great music in the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jeff Beery.
I'm Jake Brownell.
And I'm Vicky Greger.
Now, we all know there's a noisy American holiday here the first week of July. It's Independence Day, 4th of July, a time of great patriotism, and a time to reflect on the music that we think of when we think of the United States. We thought in honor of the 4th of July, we would ask our very own music director, Vicky Greger, to tell us some of the songs that come to mind when you think of the 4th of July. What are you going to be listening to when the fireworks are exploding overhead?
You know, this year's a little different for me because I'll actually be on the radio while this is happening instead of at a party where by the time the fireworks go off, people sometimes forget it's the 4th of July by the time you get to 9 o'clock if you've been at it for a while. So I'm trying to think in terms of at least a set that I would play when I start hearing things happening, looking out the window here. So immediately, every year, no matter what, I always play Radiohead National Anthem. Such a fierce song, and it builds to this very chaotic, but there is something kind of grand about, especially that last couple minutes of that song. The cacophony of the whole thing captures, you know, the cacophony that goes around 4th of July celebrations, and especially the end when they shoot up every single firework that they have.
Chaotic and grand. I like that phrase. It's very synonymous with what the democratic experiment is all about.
Toward the end of the song, there are horns blatting and all the instruments coming in together and kind of this big, you know, finale, and then it disappears and it comes back. It's somehow very fitting for me. There's a craziness that goes with 4th of July. Maybe not considered an up song by some people, but there's a certain coming together of everything that I think makes sense on 4th of July as opposed to if it were Easter or Memorial Day. There's something very, let's light some rockets now, about that song.
Definitely. All right, what's the next one?
Well, Love and Rockets, and again, I'm going for the easy thing here. No New Tale to Tell. Some of the lyrics, too, address for me, you know, when you're down, it's a long way up. When you're up, it's a long way down. You could be thinking about the actual physical fireworks doing what they do. You could be talking about the trajectory, perhaps, of what a country goes through, what a political party goes through. It just seemed to come together. And I'm really happy their name is Love and Rockets.
Let's take a listen.
Woo-hoo! You cannot go against nature, because when you do, go against nature, it's part of nature too. Our little lives get complicated.
Now, you might be thinking, this is going in kind of a dour direction. I think there's something about 4th of July that is so different. It's very celebratory. There's a lot of pride. But to me, there's always been a lot of... there's an edge of craziness to that holiday that is undeniable to me. And I think we sort of, you know, are lifted up by that somehow. You know, it's not a warm and fuzzy holiday. There's something very, dare I say, explosive about the emotions around that holiday. So
people like to hear them. Please call my name.
All right, what's next?
Well, now, because we do need to temper this a little bit, and now it's bringing people together and reminding people that they can kind of dance together and be peaceful together. So, of course, who does that better than the Grateful Dead? And I'm thinking Fire on the Mountain.
Fire on the mountain.
So, Vicky, I'm hearing that 4th of July for you is almost more of a party. It's a gathering. It's a social event more than a patriotic reverie. It's right? I mean, I haven't heard America in any of these songs yet.
It's, you know, people preparing for these parties or these picnics that grow into parties, and people are going to hang out all day and all night together, and it's going to end with this amazing light show. And there's something about doing that shoulder to shoulder with a lot of people. You know, it's spectacular.
Fire,
The adult beverages might have kicked in big time by now, so let's just, you know, chill out a little bit and kind of lead us into our last song and last fireworks.
And what is the final song of your 4th of July playlist?
I have to go Beatles, All You Need Is Love.
Can't go wrong with the Beatles.
You know, it's the last fireworks. They do the big spectacular ending. There's that word again. And then now it's done. You got to do something with that energy. So, you know, now you're swaying and all you need is love. And you've had a full day. Dogs are calming down. Put the kids to bed. Yeah, it's a nice way to go out.
You're really soundtracking the evening, soundtracking sort of that moment of the anticipation of the fireworks themselves, and then the come down, the sort of emotional release from a nice day of hanging out with friends and watching some fireworks.
And have all your feelings, revelry, patriotism, communal stuff. You know, everybody's got a take on what this day's about, so let's put them all together and see how it tastes.
Happy birthday to the good old US of A. We've got a Spotify playlist of 4th of July songs picked by our very own music hosts here at 91.5 KRCC. And you can find that on our website at krcc.org.
Nothing you can see that isn't shown. There's no way you can be that isn't where you're meant to be.
Jake, you have an uncanny ability to find incredible talent here in our community. And just recently, you found and invited a young woman named Nina De Freitas into the 91.5 KRCC studios for an interview and performance. First off, how'd you stumble across this burgeoning talent?
Well, I've seen her name around town over the past few years playing shows and the like. But just last month, I saw a post of hers on Facebook advertising the release of her debut EP, Spinning Towards the Edge. I listened to a cut and was blown away. As you'll hear in a minute, she has an unbelievable voice and an ear for really interesting melodies and beautiful instrumentation. And I think there are big things in store for Nina De Freitas. So, like you said, we invited her into the studio for an interview and performance, and it was wonderful.
All right, let's take a listen. Here's Nina De Freitas in studio, 91.5 KRCC.
Hi, I'm Nina De Freitas, and this song is called I Was In Love With You.
With you.
That was Nina DeFreitas in studio here with the song I Was In Love With You. Nina, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a beautiful performance.
Thank you.
You're relatively new on the scene here in Colorado Springs, been making music for a while, have done some really amazing things already in your career, but just released your first EP, Spinning Towards the Edge, a beautiful record. And I understand it was 5 years in the making, is that right?
Yes, for various reasons. It took quite a while to get to this point, but it doesn't matter now. I'm just very thankful that it's out.
I know you have sort of an interesting story, so I'm curious to know kind of when you first got started playing music.
Well, I was born in Brazil to two musician parents. Both of my parents are musicians. So I'd say that I was basically playing music before I could even talk. My mom always knew that I'd be a musician, so she always encouraged me to learn instruments and listen to music and just be immersed in music always. So, yeah, it's pretty much been since I was a child, yeah.
When thinking about influences in your sound, I mean, the first thing that jumps to mind, and I've seen you reference it, is Jeff Buckley. How much of an influence is he on your sound?
A huge influence. That was kind of... He was number one in our house for sure. I've been listening to Jeff Buckley since I was a child. He's a great, you know, writer, incredible vocalist, and a great melody writer. And that, you know, I really immersed myself in his music. And
not everyone could pull it off. You have that powerful vocal quality, I think, that he has. How long has that taken you to develop?
Well, first of all, thank you for ever comparing my voice to such an incredible singer's voice, and I don't think I could ever really come close. As I've gotten older and more bold, I think it's come more with just increased confidence rather than like increased learning or like, you know, technique.
Learning to embrace that voice in a way.
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I just didn't think my voice was, I thought it was too different and it didn't sound like what I'd hear on the radio. So I'd listen to my little pop artists on the side, even though I was listening to this incredible catalog of music. I still had my pop music that I liked. And, I was kind of embarrassed of my voice. I didn't like hearing it played back. But as the years have gone by, I definitely embrace it for what it is. And I'm thankful for it for sure. Yeah.
With this new EP, Spinning Towards the Edge, what were you going for with these songs? Is there any kind of cohesive idea or set of ideas that you were working with on this?
Yeah, well, these songs obviously are about heartbreak. Overall, I think it's just about, you know, a person looking for love, and maybe love is looking for the person all the while. Heartbreak is relatable, and I wasn't writing these songs to be relatable necessarily, but I tend to just write what comes out and hope for the best, basically.
And so now that this EP is out in the world after quite a long time of sort of gestating, I guess, how's it feel?
It feels good. I had a few moments of terror where I thought to myself, oh, this is out and there's nothing I can do about it. And whoever wants to hear it can hear it. And it was a little bit, it felt kind of as if I had published my personal journals for the world to read, but it's hearing. But I've gotten really good feedback and people have been really lovely. And I've gotten some really lovely notes of people just saying how, you know, how deeply it has touched them. And then I'm like, okay, yes, like, that's why I'm doing this. It's not for me to hoard for myself. It's for people. That's bottom line. You know, I just want to serve people. So,
Nina DeFreitas, thank you so much for coming into the studio. Such a beautiful record, Spinning Towards the Edge. Let's take it out with one more song live here in the studio.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm Nina DeFreitas, and this is Always Wait.
Sometimes I think you might love me, then I think twice, and then I think perhaps not very nice. How you make me wait for you, how you make me wait, and then I cry myself silly, or till I drown, watching you with some spellbound honey. Always have around you, always make me wait for you, you always make me wait for you, and I'm gonna tell you one day, no, don't you come. Tell you one day you just might ask me to stay. So baby, I will
That was local artist Nina DeFreitas performing the song Always Wait from her debut EP, Spinning Towards the Edge. You can find out more about her through our website, krcc.org. You're listening to Air Check from 91.5 KRCC. Stay with us.
Thank you.
This is Air Check from 91.5 KRCC in Colorado Springs, a show about great music in the Pikes Peak region and beyond. I'm Jeff Beery.
I'm Jake Brownell.
And I'm Vicki Gregor. Well, we heard my picks for the 4th of July celebrations earlier in the show, and now it's time for you, Jeff, to tell us who you picked for another annual July celebration. It's the 11th annual Blues Under the Bridge Festival on July 29th. Really a week of music if you include the pre-festival parties at Ivy Wild and the Gold Room.
Jeff, first of all, tell us, what is Blues Under the Bridge and how did it kind of come to be?
Well, Blues Under the Bridge is just that, blues underneath a bridge. There's the canopy of the Colorado Avenue Bridge overhead, so you don't need to worry about rain. Don't need to worry about being baked by the sun. You're covered by the bridge. And we've set this thing up in front of some railroad tracks, which is a real kind of gritty urban setting for a music genre that is kind of urban and gritty oftentimes.
Who's the first band that you want to tell us about?
Well, let's start with the headliners. I'm really proud to have the Blind Boys of Alabama headlining this year's Blues Under the Bridge Festival.
I'm too close to heaven.
These are five-time Grammy Award-winning blind singers. The group originally formed back in 1939. And their music is largely gospel blues, but I think it reflects the attitude that these guys have about their disability. Their message is very uplifting.
I'm almost to reach my goal.
So these guys have been around since 1939. That's an incredibly long time.
Yeah, it is.
And I understand there's at least one member, original member.
Founding member Jimmy Carter, not to be confused with our former president Jimmy Carter, but Jimmy Carter is one of the founding members, and apparently he's still steering the ship on this thing. And there have been new generations of blind boys that have joined the band, but Jimmy Carter's still there, belting it out.
That's amazing. And just some of the stuff I've read about them, it seems they've worked with folks from Toon Yards to Justin Vernon of Bon Iver, mm-hmm. and they've did one of the theme songs for The Wire. But then you go back in their history and they performed at benefits for Martin Luther King Jr. and, you know, toured the South during the Jim Crow era. It's an incredible career. These guys, especially Jimmy Carter, it sounds like real kind of living history in a way.
Ben Harper is pretty dedicated to working with them, but you'll find them with diverse people, including Hank Williams Jr. Mm-hmm. They did almost like a country record, and they'll cover songs. I mean, they do Higher Ground, Stevie Wonder, Spirit in the Sky. That became one of their go-to concert songs. So they stay in the present pretty well.
These guys are active. As old as they are, still active and working with other artists, making great music.
This may be the last time.
This may be the last time, children. This.
Who else can we expect at Blues Under the Bridge?
We're going to hear some rockabilly blues with a group called the Paladins. These guys have been around since the 90s. And they have put out a number of albums, 9 albums total. One's produced by Kim Wilson, another one produced by Steve Berlin from Los Lobos. They've toured with Stevie Ray Vaughan, the Blasters, the Fabulous Thunderbirds, and you'll be able to see these guys twice if you're fans of rockabilly blues. They'll be at Blues Under the Bridge on the 29th, and they will also be playing the Gold Room, one of the pre-festival events, on Thursday night, the 27th. So if you want to get your dancing shoes on, 2 opportunities to catch the Paladins.
What can you tell us about rockabilly? What's that? What's the hallmark of that sound?
Well, it's country, it's swing, it's blues, it's roots. It's a great sort of stew of Americana. And I think fans will enjoy this opportunity to get up and sort of dance around a little bit. Very, very rhythmic.
slap bass, poodle skirts, you know, mix it all up, and you've got some really fun music. Stray Cats certainly were a more modern version.
Yeah, there you go.
Of what came through, you know, perhaps Johnny Cash and Elvis. You could name them as godparents, I think, of rockabilly.
You know, watching Thomas Yearsley slap the bass is a show in and of itself, and if you haven't seen a good rockabilly band, it's really a lot of fun.
All right, who else is coming?
We've also got a Chicago-born harp player named Bob Corritor. He's teamed up with players like Big John Atkinson, who's going to be playing Blues Under the Bridge with him. He's also sat in with blues musicians the likes of Pine Top Perkins, Ike Turner, R.L. Burnside, the Manish Boys, and he's a very well-established blues harp player.
It's not often you get to see a truly virtuosic harp player. It's one of those instruments that's you know, it's everyone can play it a little, but no one can really, you know, few can master it. It's an interesting art.
I think the last time we saw that was when Charlie Musselwhite came through. Charlie Musselwhite has actually tipped his hat to Bob Corritor and mentioned him as being a really solid harp player. So yeah, you're right. It's an interesting instrument that people kind of have in their kits, but you know, it's kind of a fallback for a lot of people.
You know, you were talking about the railroad tracks, which is so important to Blues Under the Bridge, having that as a natural backdrop. I remember when Charlie Musselwhite played Blues Under the Bridge, and now the engineers are getting savvy to what's happening on that day, and Charlie Musselwhite and one of the engineers did a little back and forth with train whistle.
Wow.
and harmonica. That was stunning.
We've still got a few more to go.
Well, we also like to include local artists, local being Colorado and also Colorado Springs. Erica Brown and Movers and Shakers will be playing. Erica Brown was on the most recent Big Head Blues Club CD.
When your love has ceased to be.
That's the Big Head Todd incarnation of blues. They put together a nice album. She's won numerous Best Of awards here in Colorado. Been on some soundtracks. I think I saw her name alongside Robert De Niro, some movie or other. So she's a solid force. She will be here. And also we've got local favorites Mike Clark and Sugar Sounds playing the festival.
My girl down on the south end, says she with him and always going with
him. Nice. And hearing you talk about all these different acts, it seems like a real survey of a lot of different styles of blues, you know, that you think of the blues maybe as just being Muddy Waters on the guitar or B.B. King, but you know, it's a very broad and obviously really diverse genre that encompasses a lot of different types of music.
The blues is really the foundation of a lot of other music that we've come to know as rock and roll, jazz. It goes into so many areas of music.
Yeah, well, and it seems that in this incarnation of Blues Under the Bridge, not only will we get that variety of different styles, but you get that sort of time span from all the way from Jimmy Carter of the Blind Boys of Alabama to someone like Mike Clark, Sugar Sounds, kind of
those young kids
doing their thing as they do it today, kind of riffing on old styles, but turning it in their own ways. So it's kind of cool to see how you can have those influences and the newer stuff all in one place.
Under a bridge.
Under a bridge.
You're covered.
That was Jeff Beery, KRCC's blues aficionado, previewing the 11th annual Blues Under the Bridge Festival that happens July 29th. More info about the concert and pre-parties available at krcc.org.
That's it for AirCheck from 91.5 KRCC. For more from the show, head to krcc.org or download the podcast of AirCheck on iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Jake Brownell.
I'm Vicki Greger.
And I'm Jeff Beery.